I'll share a little bit about our trip down to the North Carolina and Georgia border. While I'm doing that, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. The book of Luke, chapter 5, I'm going to be talking about letting down the net. Letting down your nets for a catch. And I love this portion of Scripture. There's so many levels of things to learn in this portion of Scripture. When he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. We had a good trip down to Northern Georgia. My son asked us to go along with him. He's looking for a place to retire down there. And he said, Mom and Dad, why don't you come along with us and we'll enjoy the fellowship together and go down there together. And so, okay, we left last Sunday morning. But that Saturday before then, first of all, I want to thank Kevin for being so gracious and allowing me to come up and speak today. I told him a couple of weeks ago that I had a message I wanted to share. And he kind of laid aside what he was going to do and graciously allowed me to come in here and speak, and I thank him for that. So we go down there, and my son had rented a real cabin, you know, a real rustic-looking cabin. And so we got down there and we unloaded everything and went into there, and the beds were terrible. but they had a wonderful front porch, a side porch with tin roof, and we had quite a bit of rain down there while we were down there, and we'd sit there and listen to the rain, and it was wonderful that way. Something unusual happened. They took their dog along, and we got in the cabin. The dog's running around, and he gets to this hallway, and there's a bedroom here and a bedroom there and a hallway in between. When that dog got to the hallway here, he stopped, would not go any farther. He would not go into the bedroom. He would not pass that hallway. My son tried to coax him. Come on, Pika. Come on. Come on. I'm not going in there. So the first thing we do is we got together and we start praying over that cabin, pleading the blood of Christ over that cabin. Now, we went into the room, and I was there, and I asked God to show me what the problem was, and I didn't feel any sense of evil there, or the Satan. I didn't sense that, and my wife didn't, and my son and daughter-in-law didn't either. And so after we thought about it a while, we prayed over the dog, prayed over the cabin, prayed over us, prayed over everything. So we got to thinking about it later, and I said, it might not have been the force of evil that he sensed. He might have saw an angel in there, and it scared him, or her. I prefer to think about the second part of that. And he saw something wonderful. He saw that angel of God watching over us. My son, you know, Michael, he sees angels all the time. And he said, most of the time when he sees the angels, they have a sense of awe about them and power coming off of them that you can't describe. But he sees them all the time. And I'm jealous because I don't see him all the time. And I would ask the Lord, I'd like to see the angels like he sees them, you know. But God has not given me that gift, even though I've seen more of the dark side than I have the side of light. Isn't that funny? I've seen far more demons and the dark side than I have God's side. Let down the net. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Jesus enters the world of professional fishermen. Jesus is about to step into the world of professional fishermen. And I wrote down a question. What does he know about fishing? He wasn't raised a fisherman. He grew up in his stepfather's, Joseph's cabinetry. And that's supposed to be a funny. In Nazareth, he grew up in Nazareth, in a carpenter shop. We often call him the carpenter from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. What does he know about fishing? In verses 1 and 2, I asked myself the question, what were these men like? Look at Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Don't let that throw you. It's also the Sea of Galilee. Okay. Same body of water. And when I went to Israel and got to the Sea of Galilee, I was sadly disappointed because it's not even a good-sized lake. You could hide the Sea of Galilee in Lake Michigan many times over. I did a lot of research before we went to Israel, and to find out that the Sea of Galilee is only 7 miles wide and 15 miles long. And so it's not a very big body of water as we tend to think about it being a vast body of water, storms on it and everything. But one of the things I'd like to tell you is that the shallower the lake, the worse the storms can be. And so they had quite a few storms on that lake that we call the Sea of Galilee. What were these men like? Fishermen. He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They're just getting through toiling and working. They worked all night fishing. Now, I'm not a great fisherman, but I've never gone out fishing at night. And normally when I go out fishing, it was during the daytime, but that's, I guess they figured the best time to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee is at night. So they were out fishing. They're done now. They come in. They're washing their nets. And I asked myself, what are these men like? What are fishermen like? When I was with New Tribes Mission, we had a couple of professional fishermen there in the training. When I say professional fishermen, I'm not talking about going out on a bass boat. I'm talking about having a huge boat with big nets, and did that for a living. There was two fishermen there that I got to know. And one I kind of likened to Peter. His name was Gene Black. Half the time, he went out without shoes. The only time he put shoes on is when he'd go into town or go into church or something. He'd put shoes on. Most of the time, he's walking around barefoot. I don't know how his feet could take it in the rocks down there in Missouri. And the other guy was named Oliver. They were friends. They were business associates. And just like the fishermen here. And I'll tell you, they were something else. Wow, these guys were rough. They were rough around the edges. Oliver was kind of quiet man, And he spoke in low tones, you know, but when he spoke, you listened. He had some of the biggest arms I've ever seen. This guy was huge. And Gene Black was the kind of guy that was always with the mouth. You know, and he's going around, running around barefoot. And the most thing I could think when I saw him, a professional fisherman, I said, he's got to be like Peter. He's got to be like Peter, a professional fisherman. Well, in verse 3, we see Jesus doing something that is unusual. I want to look at that a second. He says, and he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon. He went into Simon Peter's boat and asked him if he could thrust him out a little from the land. One of the things that struck me as I was looking at this portion of Scripture, Jesus enters the boat without asking permission. He didn't say, can I come aboard? He didn't ask permission for her to get into that boat. No, he just got into the boat. And wherever Jesus went, if you notice that he walks with power and authority. He got into the boat without asking permission. Asked him to thrust it out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the boat. Verse 4, and when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a draught. Verse 4, Jesus is now giving instructions on how to fish. And I can just imagine what these people are thinking, what the fishermen are thinking. We've fished all night. We haven't had any luck. And now we've got a carpenter going to tell us how to fish. Now in verse 5, we see what kind of condition Simon and the other fishermen were in. And Simon answered and said to them, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. All night. Peter is tired. He's weary. He's discouraged. He's been working hard all night with no results. And as I was thinking about this, I thought maybe there might be somebody. First of all, I'm speaking to myself first, okay? When I was studying this, I was speaking to myself. And that's what I wanted to tell you right up front. Peter's tired, weary, discouraged, with no results. And I happen to think, you know, perhaps, am I feeling that way today about my Christian life today? Are you feeling that way today? Maybe you're tired and weary and you're discouraged. And you say, you know what? I've tried hard. I've done everything I know to do. And I'm not seeing any results. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're there, Jesus is going to tell Peter what to do. And Peter does it, and we're going to see the results of that, being obedient to Christ. I gave myself a little. I often write myself questions. You ever write yourself a question? When I'm studying and I'm thinking about things, I write myself questions. A question I wrote, am I enjoying my salvation or am I enduring it? Oftentimes we try to put ourselves under the law. Don't do this, do that, do something else, don't do that. We start putting ourselves under the law instead of enjoying what Christ has given to us. We start enduring our salvation. I'm going to see it through to the end if it kills me. And most of the time, we look like it's killing us. And I thought, you know what? If we could convey are enjoying our salvation to someone else, it may be better if we're going to try to win them to Christ to show them we're happy in Jesus Christ. We're enjoying our salvation, and we want to share that with them. The Saturday before we left, I went over to the Lowe's to buy something. There was a young man over there that was trying to help me. Good-looking young guy, about 20 years old, about this big, that wide, handsome, good-looking young guy. And he's trying to help me, and he's being very polite to us old people. You know, okay, I'll help you. What do you need? How can I help you? So he helped me, and as I was talking to him, I didn't intend to go over to that part of the store, but I went anyway. And as soon as I got over there and talked to that man, the Holy Spirit says, I brought you over here to talk to him. So I asked him, I said, young man, I said, if you would die today, would you go to heaven or hell? And he says, I hope I would go to heaven. I said, would you like to know? Would you like to be sure? He said, yes, I would. So I shared with him the plan of salvation briefly. And I said, would you pray with me and ask Christ to come into your life, into your heart? He said, I will. And right there in the Lowe's, we prayed together, and he received Christ as his Savior. Amen, amen, amen. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. He is the Savior. Not us. He is the Savior. He just uses us as instruments. That's all we are. So I told Kevin I need a Bible, so I came over here. One of your Bibles? I got one of your Bibles to give to him. Amen, amen, amen. Enjoy your salvation. We might win more souls, people seeing how happy we are in Jesus. Verse 5, the last part of that, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And that was the title of my message, let down your nets. Let down your nets. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The importance of God's word, he said, at thy word, I will do what you ask me to do. At God's word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. His words are spirit and life. We need the word of God. And as we look into the word, as God gives us instructions, as Peter says, I will let down the net, I will do what you're asking me to do because of your word. God has given us his word right here to lead us, guide us, direct us, use us. Praise God for his holy word. Well, what were the results? Verses 6 and 7. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish that their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boats that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. They did what God asked them to do. They did what Jesus asked them to do. And the blessings began pouring in. So many blessings they couldn't contain them. And I was thinking about our lives as Christians. When God starts pouring blessings into our life because we're following his word, just as Peter followed Jesus' word, the blessings will come pouring in, an overabundance of blessings that we might share them with other people. My wife and I were actually talking about this morning. I said, God has blessed us. God has blessed us abundantly that we might take the blessings that we have and share them with other people. What was the result of this encounter in the life of Peter? I want to look at three things that happened in Peter's life. Verses 8 and 9. When Peter saw it, he saw the miracle, he recognized something. He fell down at Jesus' feet. The first thing that Peter fell down at Jesus' feet because he saw himself as a sinful man. He fell down at it saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Sometimes when I examine myself, I think sometimes, God, I don't know how you use me. When you recognize that we are nothing but saved sinners. That's all we are. We give all praise, honor, and glory to Him for His mercy and His grace has forgiven us of all our sins and cleansed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we're sons and daughters of God. He fell down at Jesus' feet. He fell down at Jesus' feet. When we were having worship today, it was so beautiful, sister. You sharing, just singing out to God. That was beautiful. We could feel the Spirit moving. We see ourselves, but we look at ourselves not to condemn ourselves, for there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't condemn ourselves, but we need to recognize ourselves as who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We're perfect. One day we were in the church here, and I was teaching, and I said, "I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ." And I got some looks on that one. If you're in Christ, you are as righteous as Jesus Christ. He has taken our sins. He has given us His righteousness, not our own. Not our own filthy rags. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are as righteous as He is. Remember that. Peter fell down at Jesus' feet. Recognize Him as His Savior. He calls Him Lord. And in verse 10, he said something. And so, also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, fear not." Another question, have you ever had any fears in your life? I rate these questions myself. What fears have I had in my life? And I've had some fears. When I was a very young person, I couldn't go to sleep unless the light was on in the room. My mother left the light on until I was asleep. And I was sleeping with my brother. And I mean, you know, it wasn't scary, but I didn't like that light on. I liked light. I didn't like the dark. So she would leave that on. And it wasn't until I got older that a lot of these fears were taken away. After I received Christ as my Savior when I was 12 years of age, I had some of those fears taken away because I had given myself to Christ. I'll share maybe one or two with you. I had a fear of not being accepted. Have you ever had in your life a fear, especially as a young person, of not being accepted? You want to be accepted, but you think you just don't fit in. I know it's hard to believe, as outgoing as I am now, that when I was young, I was kind of shy. You know? I felt like I didn't fit in. I went to high school, and here I am. You know, we were poor, and I had my old engineer boots on, and these kids are walking around with white bucks and everything else, and they're looking down at you, you know, who are you, you know? Do you remember those days, high school? Yuck. And many fears. I had a fear. I even today have a fear of being closed in small places. Claustrophobia. After my uncle took me and put me in an old-fashioned ice box, locked the door, and left me in there. And I couldn't get out. There's no light in there, and bang, I thought I was going to die, actually. And they finally let me out. I'll tell you my greatest fear, especially as a teenager, my greatest fear was that for some reason I wouldn't be able to get a driver's license. Do you remember those days when you're like 15, 14, you're looking forward to get a driver's license? And for some reason, I thought maybe I won't be able to get a driver's license. I won't be able to drive, even though by that time my dad had already had me driving, but without a license. Fears. What did he say in verse 10? Fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Don't be afraid, I've got a new job for you. You're going to change careers. You're going to leave the fishing. Have you ever had to change careers? I have. I'll tell you, it can be scary. You know, but Jesus said, don't be afraid. You're going to change careers. I had the same thing happen to me. After being a printer, I was a printer working for R. Donnelly and Sons Printing Company in Chicago. They still have a place over here in Crawfordsville, big printing outfit, R. Donnelly and Sons. I worked there for several years and had a good job, made good money. And one day, God told my wife and I, fear not, for henceforth you're going to catch men. I'm going to change your career. Oh, man, I'm going to quit my job. I got a good job. I want you to sell everything. You're going to start catching men. Even though my wife and I would have been involved in the church a long time, ever since we were married. In fact, I led her to Christ before we were married. I told her I couldn't marry her because she wasn't a Christian. So she said, I've always wanted to be a Christian. I never could find out how to be a Christian. Can you tell me? I said, why, sure, I'll tell you. I wanted her as my wife. We prayed that night and she received Christ as her Savior. What a wonderful thing to be one in Christ as well as one as husband and wife. So we sold everything, paid off our bills, paid whatever bill we had. Sold everything, went to Brazil as missionaries. He changed our career. Went to Brazil with new tribes. So the question is, another question, they forsook all and they followed him. They forsook all and followed him. We get so wrapped up in this world, the things of the world. My wife and I were in New Tribes training. I was driving an old Ford van. Really old, dilapidated Ford van. We could always tell when somebody was a New Triber by how lousy their car was. We'd see people going down the road with a junk car pulling a big trailer full of stuff, and we'd say, it's got to be a New Triber on their way to training or on their way somewhere, you know. And a Corvette went by, you know. I said, man, look at that Corvette. And my wife starts quoting scriptures. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. God taught me that. Love not the world, neither things in the world. We put so much emphasis on this world and on the things of the world. And this world is passing away, and we're passing away. My wife and I, we wonder how much longer we have on this earth. We're both 84 years of age. And I said, we got to set aside everything, you know, and we have. We've tried to, before the Lord, we've tried to do that. To whatever God is asking us to do without question, just as he told Peter, fear not, I'm going to take care of you. You're changing careers. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you this morning, just as he told Peter, he said, Peter, let down the net one more time. If you're discouraged here or you're a little bit unsure about what God has for you in the future, where is God asking you to go or to do? Don't fear. God's calling is his enabling. We left our home and left everything we had and went to Brazil as missionaries with $15 a month promise support. That's the $15 we never got. God took care of us. Always. And then when we got ready to come home, we had to sell everything we had down there again to get enough money so we could take the airplane home. It was the most wonderful experience, my kids have said. Going to Brazil with six kids. My kids have said this is the most wonderful time of my life when we were down there in Brazil. To see God miraculously work and arrange things to take care of us. You know who is really mad at us? And going, people said, you're nuts. You're nuts. You're going to Brazil with six kids? You're crazy. My family. People that you think would want to encourage you say, we're going to help you. Well, my mom and dad did help us. Let me tell you a little story about when I was working at Donnelly and I was getting ready to leave and go into the ministry. I had been witnessing at work at the print shop. We had giant rolls of paper, several thousand pounds big. I mean, these things are giant, you know, big rolls of paper. So I start writing scripture verses on the paper. John 3:16, you know. And writing these big scripture verses on the big rolls of paper. I thought, it's probably not going to do any good, and they'll probably tell me to stop. But actually, I never had a boss come and tell me not to write those scripture verses on the big rolls of paper. Never did. We got ready to go. The young guy I was working with, he was letting me do all the work. He knew I was leaving in a short time, so he was letting me do all the work, my work and his work too. And I was getting a little upset about that, and the Lord said, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. So I kept my mouth shut, did my work and his too. So after a little while, he came to me and he said, Marv, he said, I know you've been doing my work in years too. He said, but I had something important to do. And he handed me an envelope full of money. He said, I went to the people that knew you at work here. And they're the ones who took an offering for an unsaved young guy, took an offering for me and said, God bless you and I hope God works in your life. And allowed us to go. You want to help? Want to help him? Does he need some help? Has he got it? All right, brother. Sorry I'm preaching so long. I'm going to quit. I don't know where you're at with the walk of the Lord. Wherever you're at, fear not. Let down the net one more time, will you? If you're discouraged about something, you know, just say, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to let down the net one more time and see if God's blessings don't come pouring in like they did in Peter's life. He followed the word of the Lord, and the blessings came in. Amen? Amen. 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 Okay, brother.